Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of UGA Sports Live. My name is Roddy DeBulsey. I'm joined by Dane Young and former Georgia Bulldogs head coach Jim Donnan. We have a bittersweet show for you today. This is our first show since Georgia won its second national championship, but at the same time, this is a show just a couple days after Georgia lost two integral members to its program, and a couple others were banged up pretty badly. And so it's a bittersweet place. You know, I've never seen the town of Athens go from such absolute ecstatic highs to such devastating lows in a 24-hour period. It's just been a roller coaster of emotions, to use a bad cliche, but that's exactly what it has been. We did we've seen it firsthand, and some of the reports we've gotten out of UGA about like a team meeting that was just one of the most emotional team meetings ever, and you got to imagine it had to be that way. So, Coach, I want to go straight to you. We broke the news Sunday morning in the early morning that Devin Willock, a very promising offensive young lineman, a young guy at UGA, this big future ahead of him, passed away in a car accident. Chandler LaCroix, a member of UGA's recruiting staff, was driving said vehicle. She's also passed. Tori Bowles, a member of UGA's recruiting staff, was a passenger of that car. She's banged up. She is going to survive. She has non-life-threatening injuries, but she has some major injuries. And Warren McClendon, a guy off to the NFL, he was also banged up a little bit. And it's just been just devastating news to break. You don't want to even hit send. You don't, because you don't want it to be real. But it is real, and Georgia's having to deal with it. So can we kind of get you've been through stuff like this before, you know? So can we kind of get your wisdom on this situation?
Yeah, anything I say is just there's no way to be right or wrong about this except to really cherish the memories that I have of Devin and the few that I have of Chandler. It's just, you know, I try to be kind of a support guy over there when I see these young guys and meet them. And I followed Devin since the first time I heard about him, when Coley sent me a picture of him in the weight room up there in New Jersey, just a young kid. And I think I might even shared it with you then. He's just a big kid that he really just embraced Georgia, loved it. You'll find more and more about him, all these stories. But he was really proud to be a Georgia Bulldog, and he really made significant progress over the last year with his way he's worked. And, you know, I've had to go into those team meetings before and talk about the loss of one of our players up at Marshall. And it's a difficult time for everybody. But in the case of Chandler, I remember I was over there getting some treatment last spring, and Rayola and his family were in there, and his dad and mom were down. His dad and Rayola were on the field, and she was up there with the mother. I didn't know who the mother was. I mean, I didn't even know that the kid was in there, and they were in just sitting down talking. And I was just thinking to myself, how in the world does this young lady know so much about Georgia? I mean, I was eavesdropping. I mean, I would have signed right then. I mean, I couldn't believe the wealth of knowledge and just the genuineness and the enthusiasm she had. And the mother was just eating it up. And that's what Kirby uses, all these different resources. But it was easy to see that she was completely sold on what was going on, and what was just reinforcing to the mother about how she and everybody there would be behind their son and be behind the scenes and help him. And so I just happened to go over there to the Powerade thing. And I was walking over. I said, "Hey, would y'all like some water?" And they said, "Sure." So I carried a couple of waters over there and introduced myself. And when she said her name, I said, "Wow, I'm glad you're here. I didn't have any idea. I'm sorry. I didn't know who you were," and all that. And she said, "Hey, I want my husband to meet you." And I said, "Well, I've met your son before." And it's just kind of a awkward situation that became a great one. And then I went in the feeling she brought her husband over there and I talked to him, and hopefully we're going to get back in on him. But I just wanted to make that point clear about her unswerving attitude towards us and just the things that she did, that all those people do. It's just not a job. It's a love. And certainly Tori Bowles lives on my street, three houses down, and her parents, so proud of Tori, and her brother, who's a walk-on. And every time I see them, they just light up. About last year, they were, when COVID was so prominent, they still going down to the Orange Bowl. We're going. I said, okay, go for it. And, you know, everybody in our area is getting some everything about Tori, about her progress, hopefully towards getting better. And, and it's just one of those things that, you know, the high of Saturday all during the day, and then Saturday night, just that call we want to get as a coach. You know, I'm really shallow in my interpretations, but I will say this, that I don't think I've ever been around anybody that's not from the state of Georgia, that's from another area, that wanted to be a Georgia Bulldog more than Devin. And I'm sure there's been plenty of them, but he had immense pride in wearing that uniform and wearing that Georgia G. He really did.
Yeah. Dane, I thought that the most telling aspect of all this was watching, like, the University of Nebraska putting up their names on the their Jumbotron, you know, seeing coaches from around the nation, you know, journalists, everyone reach out, you know, to both. And a lot of times, you know, Devin Willock would get the headlines because he's the player, you know, but they, you know, had commiseration and prayers for Chandler, and, you know, prayers for Tori and Warren McClendon as well. And I thought that you saw all these former players who are at FSU, Florida, Tech, that basically were recruited by Georgia, you know, and coach mentions Dylan Raiola. This is a 5-star quarterback, the number one player in the nation. He changed his profile picture to a picture of him and Chandler LaCroix together. So all these guys that were recruited by Georgia but wound up going elsewhere were changing their profile pictures to pictures of them in a Georgia outfit with Chandler in the picture because they remember, you know, and the impact she made on them, you know, when they were saying their prayers for Tori. Tori, as coach mentioned, you know, she's right there on the street, but she's also an integral part of the program, very close to the Smarts, you know, helps with their organization. This is a diehard dog through and through. And I just thought it was neat that, I mean, you, it doesn't take the pain away, but when you see how many people cared, I felt better about it.
I mean, it's uniting over tragedy is just part of the human experience, I guess. And in a lot of ways, there were some things that people were upset about from the parade on Saturday that became so small in comparison to the next day. I can even tell you, one, the college football community is kind of small in a lot of ways. So coach even mentioned, you know, James Coley being one that recruited Devin Willock. Well, he's at Texas A&M now. And you think of all the different coaches and where they've gone and maybe former teammates and where they've gone and all these things, just connection points to this one really special guy and this young woman that was very special as well. And I can tell you these kind of stories hit differently for me now that I'm a parent.
Yeah,
because like I haven't experienced a ton of death and loss in my life. I'm very fortunate. I'm very grateful. I still have all four grandparents, and I'm in closing in on mid 30s. And just seeing this happen as a parent, and then just, man, your heart just drops. I mean, you have so much empathy, and you just hope that these people have the support systems that they need, and that the leadership at Georgia can say what they need to say, and that this is not just like move on and begin the next day. This is going to be a part of this team story for a while.
Coach, it hit me, and I posted this to Facebook and got a lot of reactions, and I felt the reactions went the wrong way. People were, you know, reaching out to me, and I'm like, look, this isn't about me. I said it was hard to break the news. I break a lot of bad news. I break news that gets people fired. I break news about guys getting injured and their seasons being over, stuff like that. You know, we've had to break bad news, and I was kind of wallowing in self-pity. I'm like, this sucks. You know, I hate doing that. And then I basically slapped myself in the face and went, damn it, Roddy, you think about this. Kirby Smart or Josh Brooks or Ron Corson. Ron Corson, who's been at the hospital nonstop, by the way, checking on Torrey. Amazing guy. One of those people, Coach, had to – or a group of them had to call the parents of four people and say, look, or four young people, and say, your kid was in an accident. Your kid's passed. How – you know, we talk about Kirby Smart making $10 million. We talk about Josh Brooks, you know, and the perks that come with the job, and we hold them to these high standards. If they don't do good enough, they need to be fired. You know, it's just the nature of it. But at some point on Saturday night, early Sunday morning, and the parents were back by 6 a.m., they had to make this phone call, and I just can't imagine having to go through that hell of reaching out to a parent and telling them what had happened. How do you do it?
Yeah, but the parents would much rather have it come from you than from somebody they don't know. It's just a family situation. I mean, you've got to, these players are, you can't have the program that we have without having a lot of love and trust in it. And just like when you're, whatever the news is, it's better to have it coming from somebody that understands, you know. There's no way I can be right saying this, except the fact that all the coaches are very aware of being able to communicate with the parents, because there's a lot of things that go on besides this unbelievable grief. But you've got to have good communication, just like I would encourage fans out there to have communications with your teachers of your kids, because they spend more time with them than you do. What are they doing with them all day? So, but not only the and that was the parents, but you know, the families involved, and then also these players are tight now. I mean, can you imagine the group of them that there were several groups going to out to eat, I think, or late. And they came right up on the accident and just see your teammates there. I mean, it's just there's nothing else I can say, except I do have great faith in our team of people, that the way they handle things. Good and the good news and the bad news, that you've got to be able to handle it.
Yeah. And they did have a bunch of grief counselors there. And again, we knew there was a team meeting they had Sunday at noon, and I talked to somebody who was at that. They said, look, everybody except for the players who were in kind of that little convoy that were going out to Waffle House, you know, everybody within the program was there. And they said, somber did not begin to describe the, thing, but just saying emotional. And I just, you don't want to say, hey, you know, it's rah-rah, it was well handled. You don't know. I'm just saying, but I do know that they've moved everything possible to try to console and take care of the players, because these are brothers, you know. These are guys who have eat, breathe, live, sweat, die together. You know, it's just they're tight, and that's a great point. Anyway. We could spend all day talking about it, but we just want to pass along our condolences to the LaCroix family, to the Willock family, especially Mama Willock, who's lost two children this way. Just brutal for her. You know, our prayers to Torrey Bowles for her speedy recovery, and also to Warren McClendon. You know, we know he had a gash on his head, and he's kind of banged up. He was in the car, and of course, Jalen Carter, Cedric Van Pran, all the guys who were also there on scene and who are having to deal with this, you know, less than 24 hours after the celebration. So our prayers and well wishes and condolences go out to the families and players affected. Anyway,
this part's obviously secondary, Roddy, but I want to mention it because Like Devin Willock had a really good season, and he's going to be a he's a two-time national champion college football player, and he was going to be a big factor in the future of Georgia's offensive line. Really talented football player, getting better and better and better. And it, like Coach said, the locker room stuff, anyone I've talked to since this happened, one of the reason it hit so hard is because it's that guy. It's the guy that's kind of a glue for a team like that, and that everyone kind of gets along with. I've just had so many people say, you know, Devin was my guy.
And well loved. Absolutely. You know, and you don't want to say that if it happened to somebody else, you know, because they're all well loved, but Devin was universally liked, you know, it's, and it always seems to be the good people. You won't hear a bad word about Chandler LaCroix. I get bitter and I get angry because it's always the good people. Not that I can't point to the bad ones, but damn, you know. Anyway, let's move on to some of the other topics. But first, I want to mention, take a quick commercial break and mention our friends over at Athens Ford. During the Georgia parade, I noticed that they were, besides like the fire truck and stuff like that, they were actually in like Ford F-150s and convertibles and stuff provided by Ford. So big shout out to Ford. Ford is the official sponsor of the University of Georgia Bulldogs. Athens Ford is the official sponsor of UGA Sports. They sponsor not only this podcast, but they also sponsor our website and our watch along show. So we are huge fans of Athens Ford. They are huge fans of the University of Georgia football. They have a fantastic service department, as you can see on there. They have discounts for students. They have discounts for the military. Service department will also actually come out. If you're within 20 miles of Athens, they will send a service van out to you to check on your vehicle. So if you've got a check engine light coming on, you have a battery issue, you have a belt or something like that, you know, they can take care of it. So shout out to Athens Ford for not only sponsoring our site, but for sponsoring the Georgia National Championship Parade yet again. I also want to mention our friends over at Academia Brewing Company. If you watched the national championship game over there, you know you had a great time. It's a great place to actually catch a game. It's a great place to actually go and get some fantastic beers. They do make phenomenal award-winning beers, but they also have great food. I'm going to tell you about a couple things they have coming up. On the January 26th, they have the I Love the 90s trivia contest. So about 9 days from now, hit that up. On February 23rd, they're going to have the Office trivia. So if you're a big fan of the Office TV show, on February 23rd, it's 7 p.m., go check out the Office trivia. And then on March 30th, they're having Time Travelers trivia, trivia through the decade. So all you old heads and all you young bucks, you know, you think you know your stuff, check out the three unique trivia contests coming up at Academia Brewing Company in the coming days, so or coming months when you get a chance. Coach, we have not been able to talk about this title game blowout. This is our first chance to mention the fact that Georgia had, you know, won back-to-back national titles, a year that I don't say no one thought they could do it. They were ranked number three in the country, but I think very few people expected them to repeat. And Georgia has a better record than last year with maybe not as good players. They go 15-0 and has the biggest bowl game win in the history of college football and the most lopsided national championship game anybody's ever seen. They, I imagine the – ratings had to be atrocious because Georgia put that game away early, and it was just a no holds barred stomping of TCU. A lot of people are think that the national title game was when Georgia played Ohio State a week previous. Let me get your thoughts on the game because I missed the watch along. But hey, anybody that missed the watch along, there weren't many of you. 60,000 people watched the Watch Along show with you and Dane, so congrats.
That was just on YouTube, not counting Facebook. We got over 200,000 in the last 2 weeks, so
Jesus,
we don't need you, Roddy.
But
we would definitely could use you. But I just feel like there's a couple things I want to point out. Certainly the game against Ohio State was in our players' heads just from the standpoint, look, you know, we can't leave any stone unturned. We got to have a great week of preparation and we got to play our best game. And, you know, I purposefully hung around over there a couple days last week watching our team prepare. And fundamentally, we did a lot of good things. They spent 10 minutes every day with every group on defense chasing a quarterback. They had seven or eight of them running around in four or five different groups and just working on different ways to rush the passer and strip the ball and ball drills and working on covering punts, even though we only had to punt one time because that guy was so good. And then our offense just really working hard on third down and red zone and really focusing in on Bowers and our best players. Just the total preparation was outstanding. I'm talking about as good as I've ever seen. And it certainly paid off. I knew going in that we had a superior advantage on the line of scrimmage, size, quickness, everything involved. And it was very evident from day one, play one out there, that that was going to be imminent in the way that we won the game. And our players played like they expected to win. Our coaches played, called the game with a lot of confidence. We put our players in good positions to win with the different schemes that they employed. And, I mean, I don't know what else we could have done on offense there in the first half. It was just incredible, except we didn't score a touchdown, and the one we got a field goal. But just great preparation as a coach. That's what you want. You want your team. You know, luck is when preparation meets opportunity, man. You just get out there and you make your own luck. And they did that. And as far as back-to-back, incredible. Just no way that you can ever talk about it, except and it's just in the grand scheme of things, as hard as it is to win one, it's even more difficult to win that second and to go unscathed. And even though we had a couple scares, just 15-0 is just remarkable. And just can't say enough about giving credit to the people on the front line, but the people on the back line too, the support team that got the team out there, and Nealon Raper, his staff, the strength and conditioning. Like one little thing that that Scott Sinclair told me during the week, he said, "Coach," he said, we're going to be fresh and everything, and we made them lift weights, but we made them recover too. And usually I just tell them to go down and get in the hot tub for 5 minutes and the cold tub for 5 minutes. We went down there like a lifeguard and watched them get in, and we made sure that they got that extra recovery. And it was just those little things add up. The training staff got those guys ready. McConkey just looked fresh as a daisy out there. It was just you got to give them it's a Bo Derek game. It was a 10.
Yes, absolutely. And Warren McClendon was ready to go. He'd been beat up all week long. The number one story was, well, Darnell Washington played. He played will they go to Brock Bowers a lot? They went to Brock Bowers repeatedly. You saw Javon Bullard had an issue, like one play, then he gets a fumble recovery and two interceptions. Javon Bullard just absolute lights
out. I mean, I got to say this about Javon. I've been hit one of his staunchest supporters on the run, but against the pass, I've said that he's got to develop. But, I mean, that was an out-of-body experience for Javon, a one-handed catch and a diving interception. I mean, he could go on there at halftime and without anybody on the field. And I don't know if he can make those two plays again, but just outstanding, particularly with the hurt shoulder. Yeah. What a way to finish out his first year as the nickel back, the star guy. And then when he got hurt, Tyke came in and played really well too. So when you're called on and it's your chance to shine, you got to go in there and do it. And our defense was just incredible. That one kid, supposed to be first round draft choice, and I watched the tape on him. Number one, he caught one pass for 3 yards. I mean, I don't know what they were doing as far as the play calls. They really didn't throw many deep balls, but couldn't raise his arm. But Dane and I were talking about it right on the start, though. It was Nerve City for Duggan when he first got out there. He had a chance to hit a couple, and at first series, he didn't look real comfortable. But it's hard to look comfortable when you go up the line of scrimmage and look over there and you see 88 man, that sucker's bigger than I thought he was. And then you look over, see those two linebackers. These are linebackers. You see that one corner out there. He's a corner. I thought he's an outside linebacker. I mean, the reality hit him pretty hard.
Well, and coach, the nerves, you could tell that Stetson Bennett had so much confidence in himself and his teammates in that game. It was kind of the opposite of what Duggan was dealing with, but just some of the quality of passes that he threw over the top, some lasers down the middle. I actually thought, maybe you can correct me being a coach, but I thought the most impressive thing was he sees the cover zero and he says, I'm faster than this guy, this free rusher off the edge. So I'm just going to spin around and beat him to the edge. And there goes Stetson running off to the side by himself.
Yeah, I don't know that he saw cover zero, and I think it was just he definitely saw it, but he saw the guy coming, and he had to do something or he's going to get destroyed. But he definitely made a good play. And to me, that was the signature moment in the game. The score was 17-7. They finally had us in a third down situation and had a chance to get off the field. They had the best defense they could actually call ever, and he still out-executed them. So that's a good point by you, Dane. He was as he was in every clutch situation throughout the year. You can talk about clutch, the way he played against Missouri on the road, the third and fourth quarter with that kind of rush and those kind of completions, the catches that those guys made. He just had a spectacular year. I don't think you could choreograph it any better. And, I'm sure that without question, he's got to go down as one of the top quarterbacks ever to play college football.
Yeah, we have a story on the front page of UGAsports.com by our own Dave McMahon, you know, our guy Stats, who does work for Fox, CBS, ESPN, everybody. And when he does a deep dive into the stats, it's impressive. And he points out that Stetson Bennett now has the best career completion percentage and the best season completion percentage, taking over the spots occupied by Hudson Mason. So Stetson Bennett, the numbers there are phenomenal. It's a great read. Check it out when you get a chance. Coach, you mentioned, Kirby Smart mentioned this right off the bat. He said, look, this was a program win. This was a program title. And he started going through, just like you did, mentioning all the people in support positions that really helped. And you mentioned Scott Seclair, and I'm going to give him a shout out, and Ron Corson, of course, for getting everybody healthy. But I really wish I'd seen the two teams line up before I made my prediction. I predicted Georgia would win by like 10. If I had seen them waddle out that TCU offensive line and those two guards, just short, fat, round dudes, and you could see Nazir Stackhouse across from them, Jalen Carter across from them, Warren Brinson, Zion Logue, I would have added another 14 points there. And then to watch the Georgia offensive line go out there and look across at the TCU defensive front, I'd have added another 10, 14 points there. It looked like they were playing a high school team. And I think Dane nailed it. The play where Stetson peels out, outruns the guy coming after him, looks over the sideline, he's laughing. The game was in the bag at that point. Yeah, it's only a 10-point victory, but when he realizes that he can outrun anybody over there, and Georgia could get the edge whenever they wanted it. At the point of attack, they were just winning. The push they were getting into the backfield, the push they were getting down the field on the offense. Coach, it didn't look fair. I started to feel bad for TCU.
Well, I don't know. I'd go that far, but
no, you wouldn't.
It was a good example of recruiting and developing players and having good coaches that adjusted a little bit. I mean, one of the things I asked Kirby about Riley, because he's Riley's brother, that Lincoln Riley, who's the head coach of Oklahoma when we played him, I said, how much similarities are there in the offenses? This was early, like Sunday after when we knew we were playing. He said, well, they've got some similarities. I said, well, what did we do so well in the second half against in the Rose Bowl against Oklahoma on defense? He said, pressure. He said, we pressured a lot better, and our offense kept the ball away from them. Well, our offense did that. We pressured the quarterback, and Riley got so mad about it, he went to Clemson. So we'll see how that works out for the Clemson Tigers.
Dane, your thoughts on the game?
I mean, people say TCU didn't belong in that field. TCU earned its way there. It's just that when Georgia was the team on the other side, they couldn't compete with them. Now, look, if they played that game 100 times, Georgia may not click to that extent all of those times. That was Georgia's best against not TCU's best. But you played that 100 times, Georgia wins it most of those times, like heavy majority.
Yeah, we would have
it doesn't matter.
We would have to loot. We'd have to really screw it up and turn the ball over and let them punt return. And they knew going in the game that's the only way they could win is for us to play as bad as we could and them to play out of sight. It was just a mismatch, but you're exactly right. That's the way I see it too. But we can't really put lipstick on a pig here. I mean, it was a complete ass whipping. I mean, it was took them out behind the woodshed and just kicked their ass and coaching, playing. I mean, and you mentioned different support staffs, also just communications there with John Meshed. Gets all those headsets ready every week, and Gage went and gets those uniforms. I mean, you can't imagine that what they had to do. About Tuesday or Wednesday, Kirby decided instead of us practicing here and going out there, we were going to practice out there. So we had to change the playing time, had to change the equipment situation because some of the – they'd taken a lot of the stuff already out there. So – some of the kids, so they had to, you know, they'd already packed their bags, and so they had to take some of their stuff that they practiced with on Saturday, on Friday, out there with them to practice. So, but Gage does a tremendous job, and he's got a lot of help too. Will Wells, all those guys, they do a Will's out there practice every day beside Kirby, and he's got to be able to change the clock when Kirby wants it, or add 2 minutes, take 2 minutes. What do we got next? I mean, he's a director of traffic out there. A lot of different guys help our program.
Just in the context of the season, though, I do think preseason, any of us would have said the most talented teams in college football are Georgia, Ohio State, and Alabama. And at the end of the season, I still think that is the case. But Alabama didn't do what it needed to do in two games to have the opportunity to play for a national championship. Ohio State did, but wasn't able to execute on that final drive or find a way to beat Georgia. And Michigan was around, right? I guess the two pick sixes and TCU squeaked by them in the same way that they needed to try to get by Georgia.
Michigan's right up there, too. I mean, they had a great year. Didn't play a tough schedule, but – you know, I've said a lot of times on these podcasts before, I mean, fortunately for me, I was able to be involved in some championship teams. But the two best teams that I coached at the two places where we won the national championship were not that championship team. 2 years after, we had a better team, but we found a way to lose one game, and that one game cost us. We didn't get in the – you know, we weren't able to get in the – a championship game because of one miscue there. Same thing at Marshall. We just played a terrible game a couple of times in one in the championship game, one in the semifinals. So it's just something you always look back on. But any team to be able to get that far deserves a lot of credit. I mean, it's hard to get there, and Alabama found out this year just couple bad faux pas. But if you just look at Alabama right now, changing coaches on defense, doing something, they don't have the defensive people up front that we have. They're just not as big up front and good enough to stop the run like they always were when Kirby was there, when Pruitt was there. And that's been their – I mean, they're having to outscore people to win. Georgia continues to play dominant defense and has added the attribute of having a powerful offense. Nick went with the offense there a couple years ago under Kiffin, and they've been having to outscore people to win. We don't have that problem. We had it in one game this year against Ohio State, but I would say the difference in our teams right now, personnel-wise, dominant. I'm talking about dominant defensive front. Last year, this year, was not quite as dominant, but it was pretty good.
Yeah. And normally you wouldn't even have to have gone into a shootout with Ohio State because your secondary is better than it has been. This was not Georgia's best secondary by far. It was good, but this was not the same secondary Kirby Smart's had in other years. So,
right.
So yeah, it's a great point there. I know Alabama's like, we should have been in it. Hey, you lost two games. Michigan's like, we should have been in the title game. You had play your way in, you know. Ohio State, they lost their last two games, you know. So a lot of people say, well, you beat an easy team for the championship. No, Georgia won when they were trailing at Missouri. Georgia won against Ohio State. And they say, well, you came a missed field goal away from not making it. Right. That's how hard it is to get there. And Georgia fans can tell you about Tyler Simmons being offsides or 7 yards too short. You know, Chris Conley catching a pass. Georgia has been kicked in the nuts year after year when you were just one play away from getting there. So guess what, Alabama? You're one play away. Ohio State, you're one play away. Michigan, you're one play. It happens to everybody. And somebody's got to win it. And Georgia made enough plays, enough scrambles. I mean, go back to that title game. I mean, that OSU game. Brock Bowers diving, putting his hand down on the ground to convert a fourth down. That's the national title game right there. You know, it's just when you had to make the plays. How many times did Georgia go for it on fourth down this year and make it? I mean, they've led the nation for a while there, fourth down conversions. Just
yeah, I think anybody that – I mean, we're beating a dead horse here. Anybody that thinks Georgia's not the number one team in the nation needs to go take a good
– I don't think they think that, Coach. I think they're just like, well, so-and-so would have given you a better game.
But maybe so. Who cares? I mean
– but you got to get there, baby.
This, you know what this is right here? That's the world's smallest violin saying my heart pumps Pepsi Cola for you. I mean, hey, let's go for it. Or Coca-Cola or Powerade or whatever.
Well, the point being is I did have a point in all this. That kind of sour grapes is now being applied to Georgia when it was always applied to Alabama. It's always applied to Ohio State.
Love that, though. I mean, you really relish it. I mean,
I relish people hating you because you're good.
Well, that's good. We're definitely going to get some hate, but
you're getting it. They're pissed off. Anyway,
they need to get used to it because next year is going to be some more of the same.
Well, talking about things you do not hate, let's talk about our friends at Your Pie Pizza. I went out to the Your Pie here in Athens recently. They had Malachi Starks out there making pizzas. He was making the Malapie, which is a pizza with 24, his number, pepperonis on it. He's a pepperoni guy. He was up there serving up gelato. He was making the custom pastas, doing all the stuff out at the Your Pie location close to Coach Don, the one in Athens. There are 70 other locations for Your Pie restaurants. They're all over the Southeast. Be sure to try it. Today's Tuesday. It's a crappy weather day. You know you want some fantastic pizza. You know you might want a Malapie. You might want to try their buffalo chicken or their Nashville hot chicken, which is what I had while I was out there. I tried the Nashville hot chicken for the first time. That is a fantastic pizza. So the folks at Your Pie are huge Georgia fans. They have an NIL deal with Malachi Starks, the true freshman who just absolutely blew up this year, a guy who's helped you win a title already in year one. And they support the Georgia Bulldogs. So when you're looking for a great pizza place, support Your Pie. They also support us, and we appreciate it. I also want to mention our friends at the Prime Shrimp. We tell people about Prime Shrimp all the time, and they can't remember the name. It's Prime Shrimp. It's not that complicated. It's a concept where this company in New Orleans, they take fantastic shrimp, they devein it, peel it, cut the head off, put it into a freezer bag with different sauces. Okay. These are great sauces, great seasonings and such. And you basically get them to ship it straight to you. So you get the New Orleans barbecue style shrimp. You can get the Alfredo shrimp. You can get the seasoned Cajun, the garlic herb. It comes to you frozen with dry ice in the box, in this insulated bag. You take it out, put it in your freezer. When you are ready and you want fantastic shrimp, just boil some water. Drop the bag in, just like boiling bag rice. Flip it over. Take it out 4 minutes later. It's done. It's perfectly cooked, perfectly seasoned. You'll absolutely love it. Use promo code UGA Sports to get 20% off your first order. So hit up Prime Shrimp when you get a chance.
We mentioned Stetson Bennett earlier, and then just, I guess, what this all means for his legacy and how he was developed at Georgia and all that. I don't want it to be lost in this, the story of Christopher Smith, because here's a guy who plays defensive back at Georgia, was at Georgia for 5 years, really didn't play a whole lot until 2.5 years into that tenure. He didn't start until the COVID year, and that was about halfway through that season.
Did Richard LeCristo?
I believe that was the case. But Christopher Smith has just become such a team leader and a good player. He's going to get drafted pretty high. And I think that if there is a testament to development at Georgia, I mean, this is as sterling of a case as you'll find with a guy in Christopher Smith.
I agree 100%. I'm just watching him come out, and I remember when he first got that start, a lot of people were like, oh, Chris, this is such a letdown. And he's only just become bigger and better and stronger and faster. And this is a guy who lives, breathes, and dies Georgia football. And you've got to be excited for him too. Last year, I mean, he could have left last year, but he stayed and played his way into a high draft pick. It's just
you just go back to Tennessee game up there when they jumped out ahead of us, and they were really working on our nickelback, and you know, with all their wide splits, and just, and Kirby made a move and moved him in there to star there very early on, and he played like lights out the rest of the game, and we shut him down, and that's going to help him in the pros. He's a fierce tackler, but he can cover pretty well too, and he's got good ball skills. You think about the Clemson interception, the way he broke on the ball, the way he made that play against just a heady play against LSU when he picked the ball up. He just
plays a year.
He's the leader on that. And I thought the curtain call that Kirby had for Stetson was great, but also for those four defensive players that walked off the field arm in arm too. I mean, I wish they would be back, but those are some good players. And then Nolan Smith's leadership, very prevalent down the stretch, the way he stayed with the team and what all he did reminds me a lot of some of these other guys after that one game we played down there against Texas when they had all the problem with the opt-out guys. And then the next year, Kirby got them straight. Hey, you either going or you're not, you know, so that's the way it worked. But a lot of good things happened. So maybe we could go on to what's next, some questions or what?
I want to make one last point because, you know, I love the sound of my own voice, Coach. Want to give a shout out to Georgia's recruiting staff, because when you mentioned Nolan Smith, that reminded me of everybody that bitched about Alabama losing their wide receivers last year, about Ohio State losing Marvin Harrison, you know, in the third quarter, TCU not having their running back. It's always, well, Georgia wouldn't have won if these guys had played. I'm like, Georgia didn't have Adam Anderson last year or Nolan Smith this year. Two of your best players, and Georgia's still winning titles. And when you bring in Chaz Chambliss to set the edge, and, you know, Robert Beal, who sticks around his fifth year, Chris Smith sticks around. Like, you bring in – who the hell knew Javon Bullard before the season started, or Malachi Starks? So, shout out to Georgia's recruiting staff.
Matt Godwin and his staff do a great job of bringing the players to the attention of the coaches, and then the coaches do a good job of getting them in here.
That's where you're winning titles, folks. All right, Dane, you want to bring up some of our questions?
Yeah, let's start with some here from our YouTube page. Let's see. We talked a lot about Devin Willock and Chandler LaCroix. So that's all at the beginning of the show if you want to go back to that stage. Coach, I guess let's just talk about Ladd McConkey for a second, because Foster Moss says, when Sonny Dyke said wow on that Ladd McConkey touchdown catch, I finished watching the game in bed after that. That's when I knew it was all good, when Sonny Dykes was remarking over Ladd McConkey. What a game for McConkey playing hurt.
Oh, he just it seemed like a lot fresher. Quickness was there. Really good schemes that set things up. I mean, you watch him practice – catching that corner route time after time. He does it. After my wife passed away, you know, occasionally I watch go online and see Facebook just to see people's families and everything, because I enjoy that and keeping up with them. And, you know, one thing I told Lad's dad early on when some people were talking about is, you know, what are we doing playing this three-star guy and all that? I told him 2 years ago, and I've never met him in person, but I told him, I said, Lad McConkey could have played on any team that I ever coached. And I believe that. And I coach some damn good ones. But that guy is tough as nails, hard as bricks, the Harvard class of 56. I'm telling you, that boy can do it. And he just makes play after play. And when you talk to our coaches, when you ask them about injured players and all, one of their major concerns going into Ohio State games was Lad's health. Yeah. I mean, because he does so many things. Runs the reverse. He blocks hard. He blocks on the perimeter. He's like, you know, like a little gnat out there. Just, you know, just gets after you. And he's just a great player. And I'm sure that he's going to play pro ball too. I mean, I have no question he'll be a pro receiver.
You know, if I was back in my day and I'd seen Lad McConkey coming after me to block me on the edge, I'd have smiled to think I'm going to turn this kid's head around, and I'd have been sitting on my ass. He'd have blown me up. He hits like a ton of bricks. But you look at him, he's not an intimidating guy. But then he blows right through you. You're like, damn, who is that? So shout out to him.
One other thing I meant to mention about this year's team that I think is very – crucial is the, you know, you're going to have change in any organization, particularly when you have success and you have guys moving up and guys moving out regardless. But we had some significant changes in our coaching staff, and every one of them ended up being a significant issue for us that we had to accomplish this year. If you look at what happened with Nolan Smith getting hurt and the fact that that young guy comes in there and coaches the heck out of the other players. He also taught Walker how to play the edge on pass rush. Fran Brown's got to get these new corners ready. And then you got you just keep on going with the way that Coach Mack came in with the receivers, injury after injury. Mitchell goes down in the second game. McConkey hurt one thing after another, but somebody's always stepping up. I mean, you look at those young receivers, the way they played, and then it just unreal the significance of that. And then Coach Stacy Searles come in and just our offensive line should have won the Joe Moore Award. Just 8 sacks on the season and 15 games. Are you kidding me with that many call passes? Just really good additions. And that just signifies the CEO ability of Kirby to have that kind of net that he can bring in and attract the kind of coaches to look in. And he's already got, you know, several guys out in the head coaching ranks that were here. And people are looking at the Georgia blueprint just like they look at the Bama blueprint. You're going to see more and more of these guys leave. But you can't blame them because everybody wants to be the head man. And I don't worry about people that you lose near as much as I worry about the new people coming in and getting used to what we do, because it's a high-intensity program. There's a lot of demand here, and some people can't stand it. And some people I'm talking about, they can't handle it, not stand it. And that's what's happened to some of these players sometimes that early on enter the transfer portal. They just can't handle the grind. They can't. They can't compete on the level that you got to have to be successful here.
Dan, you always like the names. I want people to get used to the name Chidera Uzodiribe, the Georgia outside linebackers coach that Coach Donald was mentioning. That guy is a force to be reckoned with.
Have you ever seen him when he wasn't smiling? I've never seen him.
No.
He's just got a smile on his face. Now, he gets after him and everything, but, boy, I got to think he's dynamite in the recruiting room. You look at some of the guys he's signed already. I mean, good Lord. So I'm just telling you one thing. If you can't recruit, I don't care how you can coach, you're not going to be on this staff. And there's some guys here that are no longer here that figured that out pretty quick when Kirby told them to get another job.
Gabe Harris, Damon Wilson, Samuel Mpemba. just telling you that's unreal. And that's actually one of the questions we had from
fans. Fans know this could be coming too, because I'm covering the parade as it's happening, and fans are yelling out at Glenn Schumann as the Truckwood assistant coaches come by, because they know that Alabama's looking for a defensive coordinator, and they're saying, "Don't leave, Glenn. Don't leave us. Stay with us, Glenn." It was fun.
Yeah, well, they got to look out for Georgia, but also what's best for him. But we'll see how strong the Sankey is. Will he tell Nick no? Will he tell Nick he can't hire Pruitt? I don't know if he can tell Nick no. I don't know. Maybe he can.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one there. We had a question from D.W. Burnett on the Dog Vent. He says, not necessarily for coach, but can we possibly get a few names to know as far as staffers go? Of course, everyone knows Boba, but what about some of the recruiting staff that work so hard behind the scenes? And we mentioned Matt Godwin, and I've always said that Marshall Malchow, to me, set the bar for, you know, being a strong recruiter and identifying talent early on, and wherever he goes, that team's going to be success. I give a shout out to Matt Godwin. I don't really know him that well, but just seeing the results that he and his staff put together, and the folks in the recruiting office.
He's outstanding. He really has a good feel for recognizing talent. And he I've asked him several times to look at some tapes of guys that aren't necessarily Georgia players, but friends of mine that have sons or, you know, that want to go to maybe a non-power school. Just give me his analysis of it every time. And not that I'm that great at picking out players, but okay. I feel like I know okay. But, you know, every time he sees the same things I do. So it's good. And we got a talented group of younger people that work with him too. Just really good people behind the scenes.
Coach, we got a question from JSong17 on the board, and this kind of goes back to the fact that you've been able to pick out guys early on. You told us about Devin Willick when no one was talking about him. You told us about a number of guys that
Jordan Davis, Brock Bowers.
Davis is going to be really good. Well, hell, you said Stetson Bennett could play any. I remember there was somebody said he wouldn't start anywhere else in the SEC, and you said he's the best damn quarterback you'd seen. You know, so you went out and you put your professional
People still bust me for saying, I want to say two words, Charles Grant. but that was after spring practice one day. But
I'm just saying you've been dead on. So this question is from Jason Sepp. He said, what player is the coach hearing buzz about or expecting a big spring from? I don't think you have to go out and give us your hidden gem yet, but people are going to start late. We know that practice starts in 2 months.
Two months. Come on, Roddy.
I said 2 months.
Okay. We got February here. They got to go spring break and everything.
Mid-January, mid-March, they start up again.
Yeah. So, I'm not ready to really give you my anybody that just jumps out there. But I do feel like a couple guys had really remarkable improvement between spring and that. Oscar Delp just really came on and gave us a lot of stuff that we needed there once we had a situation where, you know, Washington was up in the air. I thought he really came on strong. I really liked the way that some of these younger offensive linemen, even though they didn't get to play, Wilson, Micah Morris, some of those guys are going to be players down the stretch here because they've had to go against the defense just like these younger linemen had to. And one thing that's going to be evident here is our receiver room all of a sudden is going to be stronger than three rows of wild onions. We're going to have A.D. Mitchell and McConkey, but we've got those two transfers. And then we got the other guys too, Arian Smith. And, you know, the younger players that really got some good reps in there this year. So I really like the receiver room we're going to have.
I'll give you a name, Roddy.
All right.
Darius Smith.
Yep. That's
a guy that size, that fast. Like, I don't even know what position that's going to end up being for him, but it could be about three different things.
Well, I asked him that specifically. He's like, they got me playing star. I'm like, that's the biggest damn star I've ever seen since Adam Anderson did it.
Yeah. The guy that's going to make the quickest impact, I think, that to fill in real quickly will be Everett. I just think he's ready to play. Now, maybe somebody might come in and do even better, or, you know, maybe somebody from transfer portal or what, but I think Everett is going to fill in there for Ringo pretty well.
We got some questions about the running backs that we'll bring up, but I want to mention our friends over at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Now, of course, Andy Ludecky is the guy who runs My Perfect Franchise, and the basic concept there is if you are busting your tail at a 9-to-5 and you're not making enough money, or you're just not happy with it, or you're just burned out and you want to do something new, you might want to start your own franchise. Now, some require a lot of money, some require very little money, some require a lot of time, some require very little time. It's just too much to know. It's an entire industry that you don't know what the hell is going on there. Well, if you reach out to Andy or former Atlanta Braves pitcher Brandon Beachy, Brandon Beachy's also doing this. I think I'm like a high school guidance counselor. You go to them and they say, hey, what are you looking to do? What is your end goal here? And they can steer you through 3,000 different options when it comes to franchises. So go to MyPerfectFranchise.net, reach out to Brandon Beach, and you can ask him a bunch of Brave stuff, and he'll be happy to answer it. Trust me, he'll talk your ear off about it. You reach out to Andy Ludecky. He's been doing this a long time. He's helped a lot of Georgia fans on the dog bend get new leases on life. They have their dream jobs now. So if you want your dream job, you want to get out of the rat race, check out our friends at MyPerfectFranchise.net. And that's just a great way to go about it. And I think I'd be very, very happy with them. Also want to mention our friends at Dead Soxy. They are a big sponsor of our site. They've been around a long time, and they have a new a new thing to concentrate on going forward for January. Cause you know, they did all their Christmas sales and stuff like that, but now they understand it's a new year here. It's, you know, if you bought your socks, then you probably don't need them right now. But what I want you to think about is if you have your own business, you've talked to Brandon Beachy and you've got your new roofing company or something like that, go ahead and get your own personally branded socks that you can give away to clients, give away to customers, give away to people that you're trying to generate business from. You know, they do a great job of taking your logo, your design, your concepts, and putting your message onto their socks. And we've had some people at UGA Sports do this. They absolutely love it. They said, look, our customers wear socks every day. These are the most comfortable socks they get. They reach for these socks in their drawer and put them on. And every time they do, by God, they see my logo. So they remember me. So if you're looking for something, it's not a huge order. You don't have to order 10,000 pairs. You know, you can do it for a very small batch. But reach out to deadsoxy.com. Say, look, I've got a company logo I want to put on it. I've got a motto I want to put on it. I got something that I want to give away. And the presentation of these is fantastic. It's not just rolled up a pair of socks. They come in these amazing envelopes, you know, and the boxes are fantastic. It does look like a presentation piece when you give people these socks, and they will absolutely love them. So hit up our friends at Dead Soxy when you get the chance. All right. Going back to the questions. Coach, this is from Blackshear UGA. Says, will Branson Robinson be the next great Georgia running back?
You know, I think Branson really improved this year. He's definitely a very strong runner, but he got a lot better at pass pro, recognizing how to run routes, things like that. And he got a lot of quality time. I mean, kind of mop up duty most of the time, but, I really do like Paul, though. I like the way he looked in fall camp. I think he's got more of the quickness that you see out of McIntosh, maybe. It's going to be tough, though. If Milton is any way, form, shape, or form like he is right now, he's going to be tough to beat. And, of course, 30 is just – he just plays a great role for us. he does a good job week in and week out too. So I think the kid from California, I know Dell's really high on him too. We were able to flip him over from UCLA, and he's here on campus. That's the thing about it right now. I can't wait to go over there and watch these guys run and work out and lift weights and stuff. All of these 17 to 19 of them. I'm not sure if it's 17 or 19, but they're over there. Well, a few of them got to go out to the championship game because they came in there early and got everything set. But most of them were here Monday going to class, watching on TV. So, and that's invaluable to have these guys here to go through spring. When you look at the guys that entered the portal, we lost some good players, but I mean, nothing to slit your throat over, I don't think. But the fact is, you need to have some bodies out there just so you can do what we call two spot, where you, instead of just going one group at one end and everybody waiting in line, we always have two groups going, like one versus three at one end and two versus four at the other. And the main thing is you're getting more reps and you're getting a chance to get analyzed. And I think that's going to be good for us. But running back wise, I don't know if Robinson's going to be the guy right now. I mean, I don't think so.
We got as a whole, though, I rave about that running back room just because the five, excuse me, the five that you have. But then even the little bit I saw of Cass Jones as a walk-on, I'm like, Georgia could win with this guy. He's a good player.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Cash broke his ankle out there and had to get surgery on it. But I don't know if he'll be ready for the spring. But he's kind of a dangerous guy that just you don't realize how fast he is till he runs right past you. And he's another guy that has the players' respect, because if you just imagine going down there and being a scout team running back or receiver, where Kirby Smart's trying to get the defense to swarm you, even if they're just butting you up and not putting you on the ground, that's a lot of hits during the course of practice. And that was something that Gunner, I was amazed Gunner took his black jersey off and said, hey, let them go on and hit me this week because they got to get this quarterback down. I thought that was really gutty by him. And
Gunner Stockton.
I know when I was a scout team quarterback my freshman year, I told the defensive coach back there, I said, I know you want these guys to get a lot going, but I said, if they keep hitting me like this, I can't raise my arm to throw the ball. So could you just please call them off of me a little bit? And he did. So that helped. I mean, in the course of about 3 weeks, I was Joe Namath 1 week. We played Alabama. I was a Swikert guy from Virginia Tech who was a great running around quarterback. And I don't even know who else I was, but they beat me up into submission.
It's going to be interesting because the new running back on campus is Roderick Robinson. So you have Roderick Robinson and Branson Robinson. And the question we're getting from Elko Dog is, who is set to take over the James Cook / Kenny McIntosh role in the running back room? Can we see a transfer in this role? You think about the guy that, you know, Kenny McIntosh had so many catches and James Cook had so many catches up for, so is it one of the Robinsons? Is it Dejan Edwards? Is it Kendall Milton? I don't really know of anybody that's got the hands that Kenny McIntosh.
Paul can do it. I do. I really think Paul can. You realize that he is the first guy since 2005 in the SEC to get over 500 yards rushing and 500 yards receiving.
That's nuts.
Fantastic job. And he really played very sparingly compared to most guys. I mean, you know, like the game against Ohio State, I mean, he only carried the ball three times, five times. He had five times and Milton three. I mean, so we didn't run the ball hardly any, but we're going to miss him. He'll make his you know, I sent a couple pro coaches some stuff about him already. Just to say, hey, make sure you guys really check this guy out. He's a steal.
Yeah. last question, Coach, because a lot of people were asking about this, you know, Blocker 57. So what has the involvement been like from former coaches during this time, and how have you handled and supported players through a tragic situation? And basically, you know, about – questions along those lines. How do you handle stuff like this, Coach, when you have a tragedy like that?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I did, we had a player die at Marshall. They got in the hospital and had a unbelievable infection and just went quickly. And so I called on our team chaplain right away, and we got our team together and got some people from different departments in there, because I've never been involved with that. But I never will forget the most overwhelming thing I've ever seen in a team situation. I was talking to the team, and this young guy from the back starts walking up to the front, and he was a defensive back for me. He's from Atlanta. His name's Derek Greer. He said, "Coach, can I say something?" And of course, I wanted him, we needed to talk about it. He said, "Coach, the thing that just overwhelms me is that I knew this guy's number. He was a freshman, but I really didn't even know him." And for him to say that in front of everybody else, he said, "Do you realize that from day to day we could lose somebody and really not even know who they were and what they do?" He said, "We got to connect." And, Kirby talks about connection. Yes, and from that day on, every time I ever had a team, I made them sit in different groups. The DBs couldn't sit together, the running backs, the trainers couldn't sit in together, where everybody interacted. I wanted everybody to know who everybody was. And, of course, they know Devin Willick here. There's no question about it. But you just never know the significance of what he did. When Derek Greer did that, it stuck with me the rest of my life, just the overwhelming presence. For him to get up there in front of all his teammates and say that was just unbelievable.
Yeah. And the question about, former coaches coming back and helping out, stuff like that. So I'm like, well, when you had the entire staff over, everybody within the program was over there at that team meeting helping out. So,
oh yeah. But I think certainly, I know Coach Rick, Coach Goff, myself, I reached out to many assistants as I could. And also to Kirby, anything I can do, I just went through a grieving situation. I know what it's like. What can you do to help? And there's really not a lot, but at least they know you're there. That's all you can say is it's a Georgia family. That's the way it is.
Yeah. Good question. Is Mitchell Dog. I got this Urban Meyer's heartburn question kind of made me laugh, and we'll leave on that one. It says, "Why would we hire a head coach without experience as a head coach?" the sarcasm of the sarcasm of the dog bit is always appreciated.
Are you talking about hiring Kirby without any experience?
Because that was one of the knocks on him. Why the hell would we hire a guy who hadn't been a head coach before?
Well, yeah, I tell you, that question comes up in an interview sometime, and you got to have different ways to answer things. And I had talked to somebody about that, and I said, "Well, I was the head freshman coach," just as a joke. But I said, "Do you realize that Joe Paterno and Barry Switzer were assistant coaches? They did okay. Tom Osborne was an assistant coach. He did okay."
Wow.
Time after time, those things happen. But people move up within the organization. But there's no question that Kirby was ready to go. And I'm just glad he didn't go to South Carolina.
Cool. I see the haunted look in Dane's eyes. That would have been rough. All right. Anyway, folks, that's all the time we have for this week's show. We went a little long, but we haven't had a show in a while. So we appreciate all the questions you sent in. I appreciate Dane making time to join us. I know that he was slammed this week. Coach, we appreciate your wisdom as always. Big shout out to Athens Ford, Your Pie, Prime Shrimp, Dead Soxy, My Perfect Franchise, and, of course, Academic Brewing Company. Hit up their trivia shows coming up in the coming months. And be sure to hit us up next Tuesday at noon. We'll be talking a lot more Georgia football. Hell, we might even have to touch on basketball. So,
Dogs versus the Cats tonight, 9 o'clock.
Yes, let's bring them through. All right, folks, we'll see you next week. We appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll see you then.